Good morning and welcome to A Public Affair. I'm your host, Tish Buford. In studio today, we have a phenomenal lady that I am so excited to introduce you to. Her name is Allie Duncan. She is the owner and founder of Urban Sanctuary here in Denver, located in the heart of the historic Five Point District. And I can't wait to share her story with you because she is the only Black female who's a local owner of any kind of wellness yoga studio in Colorado. And she has promoted a beautiful message of community, of wellness, health, acceptance, specifically for the BIPOC community. And we're going to discuss her journey, what Urban Sanctuary has brought to the community of Denver, and what their future plans are. So please give a warm welcome and listen to the amazing Miss Allie Duncan. Allie, good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for having me on. This is wonderful.
It's just so wonderful to have you. And it's also, honestly, I'm telling you, it feels like it's so very, you know, timed in a way that the confluence of us conducting this interview this morning with you and also the times that we're living in, that it makes this conversation even more relevant, given the heightened awareness of health, heightened racial tensions in this country and across the world, and what Urban Sanctuary is bringing to the citizens of Denver and throughout Colorado is such a positive and welcome message that's so timely and necessary right now. And I am just thrilled to be able to bring that message and share your story with our audience. So let's go ahead and start out with some questions about what inspired you to start the Urban Sanctuary? What led you to this path and to this goal?
Well, I was born and raised in Fort Collins, which was a white community. And so we slowly made our way to Denver. And I thought for sure that Denver would have more Black people on the yoga mat. And so as I was here and I started taking yoga, I noticed that there wasn't. And I couldn't find a place that really felt good to me in Denver. So I always say, like, if you ask a question, like, why isn't there this happening? Then that's up to you to create it. Like, don't sit around and watch it or want it to happen. Like, you create it. So Urban Sanctuary created itself, and I just showed up.
The response that you've received from the community, especially within the last 2 years, with the intensity of the pandemic, has heightened, and it's gotten even more popular. Is that correct?
That is correct. 20 was a big year for me. Kept going up and offline yoga classes, meditation classes to the BIPOC community. And that's when things started to fill up. So this was the space that people came to rest their body, move their body, and to connect with others. So yeah, it was a big year.
Urban Sanctuary has been around for several years before it really hit its stride in 2020. Is that correct?
It is. This will be our sixth year.
Let me ask you something. When you came to Denver and you started the studio, I know you said you were surprised there weren't more Black people of color in Denver, but given what's happened and transpired over the last 3 years, have you seen more of a spike of more people of color participating in wellness through your urban studio and wanting to experience yoga and other forms of wellness and exercise?
Oh my goodness, yeah. Like all of our classes that are free, they're called Full Circle. And when I first started, I had one, and it was called Black Girl Magic. And so after 2020, now we have 3 Full Circle classes. We've been upping the numbers. We're almost to our max, and they get booked out every single week. So it's been awesome. And so just having all of our classes full for the BIPOC community is wonderful. We have our regulars, and they bring in new people, so it's been really great.
But it has to be encouraging. Being a Black woman, specifically being a Black woman that owns a yoga studio, and you're the only one in Colorado, that is a monumental feat. And to have people come to you and come to your space to share wellness, health, and yoga in a historically Black district on Welton Street, that has to be like a double reward for you.
You know what? This how the building found me. And where it was located, like I always laugh because my dad would drive us from Fort Collins to Denver to go to the Black churches. And he'd always tell her, do not go to Five Points. Like, Five Points is so dangerous, because he used to hang out at Five Points when he was younger, because he was in the Air Force in Wyoming. And so it's just funny how I ended up there. He knows the building that I'm in because he used to play pool there when he was in his late teens, early 20s. And so, like, it's just all full circle. So it's great to be in that location. It's great to be the space that the Black community can come to feel comfortable. So, yeah, I love all of it.
And can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so the building is called the Douglas Building. It's a historical building. And Frederick Douglass's sons owned a mortuary out of it in the 1800s. So when you come to the front of our building, there's an urn carved up front. And it's such a beautiful space. Like, everybody who walks in, they're just like, oh, it's so peaceful. And so, yeah, I absolutely love my building.
Right. And do you feel the spirits of those ancestors who lend their hands to build that infrastructure in that building that you guys reside in now?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I do. And not only do I feel it, but people who come in that are really plugged in, like the BIPOC dealers that come through, like, they won't even know the story. And they'll just be like, oh my gosh, like, I have so much coming through right now that I want to share with you. Or some of them will have dreams about it, or they'll see Frederick Douglass's picture somewhere outside of our studio. So yeah, there's a lot of people that tap in and feel it too.
I love that. And I always truly believe that your spirit arrives in this mortal world before you occupy the space of your spirit. And our ancestors always leave spirits behind for us to reside in. And it's true for every walks of life. There's always spirits out there that are waiting to be captured and acknowledged. And the consolidation of these past ancestor spirit, your parent spirit, and what you guys are bringing here in this space, it sounds truly magical.
It is. Everything, every time I walk into the space, that's the one word that I use, is magical. Like, the space is magical, the community is magical, the type of people that are called to Urban Sanctuary to share their offerings is magical. So it's just this awesome flow that is unfolding. And I just get to sit back and watch and experience, like, all of the amazingness that is connecting me with the community and just seeing where it goes. So that's awesome.
That's fantastic. Now, historically, women of color, specifically Black women, have been unfortunately connected with not taking care of themselves and sacrificing their health, both physically and mentally, to take care of others and to lead, movements and to lead families, being, dual parents in society, having a lot being bestowed on them to carry and handle. And so, we, to a degree, meaning women of color and Black women specifically, we've always demoted ourselves as far as wellness and health. How do you promote that message to be the top priority for the BIOPIC community and Black women that come through your door and share that space?
So the biggest point that I like to make for the Black community, one, is having teachers that look like them. So 95% of our teachers are BIPOC. And so that gives them permission to show up in that space and to relax. So that's the environment that I created. And then we also created groups such as She Kings. And She Kings is for Black women. And we talk about mindset and breathwork and just getting them involved in taking care of yourself, because that positively benefits your whole family. And the more that we talk about food and how we nourish our body, I'm finding that a lot of people are starting to plug in, like, they're starting to understand that it has a big effect. And so I also do coaching one-on-one, and I make it accessible for the Black community so they can come in and see me. I do emotional clearing. We talk about mindset and how to basically start to shift their life experiences based off of emotions and frequency. And so over the last 2 years, like, I have so many Black women come through to see me one-on-one to start making some changes. And then they tell their friends, and then their friends come and see me. So it's just been this amazing word of mouth that's been happening around the studio, and then also the emotional clearing part.
That just warms my heart to hear that, because these spaces, unfortunately, are rare. And for you to create this with the specific intention of serving the BIPOC community and specifically Black women is such a treasure, you know? And it's an oasis of blessings that you get to share. And it is refreshing to know that women of color, and specifically Black women, can go in and come out more healed, more fluid, more lucid, and more in touch with who they are, and coming out better and more improved. And that seems to be your sole purpose.
And again, it's just like the studio that I just show up, and then however things shift, like, I'm there. That was one of my biggest focuses as I was moving into the space, is to start connecting with Black women. And so, not being from Denver, I mean, I was born and raised in Fort Collins, but not being there from Denver, it took me a little bit of time. It took me a little bit of time to start making those connections. But once I got in, it was like doors just opened, and I love it. I love it so much. And I mean, we're getting the white community involved also. So we do anti-racism work through the studio. So Danita Finney, she teaches other yoga studios about anti-racism, right? So just to bring the act of yoga to its root, like, why are we doing yoga? And to make it a priority of how they can show up also. So yes, I'm doing my part, which I love, but to get other people involved is, it feels so good.
I love that. And so you're bringing in white people and other people of other races to come in and experience this spiritual, you know, setting and this experience in rural yoga, which means inclusivity and community.
Yes. Yes. And it's been so amazing too, because I studied Semitic yoga, which is from Africa. And this yoga was created and gifted to Egypt or Kemet 2,000 years before it made its way over to India. And so yoga, which is Mai Kai Wing in Kemet, is the original yoga. And so to teach the Black community that, no, yoga came from people that looked like us, like, that's the original, it's so exciting, because they're just like, oh my gosh, because in their mind, it's skinny white women, super expensive. And they're just like, that's not for me, right? I'm not included in this. But I was like, no, it comes from our people. And so just last night, I was at a yoga studio, and I taught their yoga teachers, and they're all white, a little bit about Kemetic yoga. And I moved them through a swirl of Ma'at Ka so they could feel it in their bodies. And everybody was just like, wow, you know, we never learned this. This is so powerful. And so for them to be like, yes, I'm going to start sharing it with my students too, so people can start to understand, like, where it truly came from.
And you're giving voice to something that originated, again, with our ancestors. The knowledge is so powerful, because there are a lot of voices out there, not all, that want to mute that information and its origin. And they don't want to have that, you know, that nexus broke down to its original origin. And they want to make sure that it stays a certain color, or stays with a certain type of population, or stays with a certain type of economic class. Breaking down those walls and educating people and understanding where these type of exercises and these rituals come from, it makes us all better people and more informed people.
Yeah. And it gives Black women permission to step into the space. Because once they say that, no, this is for me, it was by me, for me, and now I can afford it, it just opens up so much opportunities for them to heal. Because truly, there is no more excuses. There is no more excuses that I feel excluded. There is no more excuses that I can't afford it. Because I'm literally giving them free yoga classes. I'm letting them pick a sliding scale. How much do you want to pay me so I can teach you mindset and healthy eating and everything? And it's just been, like, I love it. It's just been growing so much when Black women start to understand that, no, this is a priority for me. And it's again, magical.
Absolutely. And I just hear the magic and loving your voice, and that just warms my heart. And I can't continue, you know, I can't wait to continue this conversation on the other side of our break. I'm going to take a quick pause to identify for station identification purposes. You guys are all listening to, again, KGNU Community Radio, Public Affair. I'm your host, Tish Buford. And in studio this morning, we have the lovely and amazingly talented, extraordinary woman, Allie Duncan, owner and founder of Urban Sanctuary here in Denver in Five Points. And Allie, I want to get back into the other part of that statement you were making about Black women having permission to take care of themselves and make themselves a priority, an exercise of wellness that most of us assumed was really originated with a white person or a white woman or man, and it was not economically available.
Once that door opened, and I'm noticing two things, that once that door opened, I have a handful of Black women who just jump in and they're like, oh my gosh, like my life is completely changing. And I see them class after class after class, because we also make our membership affordable too, where, you know, if you don't want to just do the full circle class and you want to do different types of classes, it's affordable. And so I have those group of women that jump in. And then I have another group of women that it's hard to make those life changes to put yourself first, to think about mindset and breath, to be plugged in on how am I responding to other people? Let me look at the cycle that I'm experiencing and how do I shift out of those cycles? Like, it's an easy concept, but it's challenging for people to really dive into it, because if you haven't been taught that, and then I'm asking you to show up differently and to think differently, it's a lot to ask. But I love being available, so when they like come around, when they're just like, okay, I want to do something different, that we're here.
What do you think is the most common challenge you face with the women that come through your door, you know, getting out of their life-taught cycles of behavior? At the top of that list, what would you think is the biggest challenge that you have seen repeatedly coming from women of color and specifically Black women?
That they don't believe in themselves, that they don't see themselves, you know, in their desired reality. Like, this is my desired reality. This is what I want. Like, they want it, but they don't see themselves there as far as self-worth. And then to show up in that, like, power, that strength, that self-confidence, that it's not there.
You are reinforcing the confidence that most Black women possess, but are afraid to exert in their own lives.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because a lot of people assume, I should say society in general, but not all, because I don't want to stereotype, but all of these societal norms and all the adjectives that are associated with Black women, strong, sassy, you know, got attitude, you know, so forth and so on. Okay, those are fine. But those are all caricatures, though. They're caricatures, right, in my opinion. And they're never really defined what Black women stand for and women of color stand for. Women of color and Black women in this country, historically, have carried the burdens of this nation to get it to its next level. Historically, we just have never gotten the kind of credit that we deserve. And so we come in at a deficit because we were taught to believe that we were secondary and that we were marginalized and that anything outside of that space was not going to be accepted. And you are changing that mindset for women that come in your sanctuary and come out renewed. That's truly amazing and very special.
I behold that. I think how I show up, it gives other Black women permission to show up that way too, insert themselves. And just, this is what I want to do. Let's do it.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you something. For your own path and your own journey, did you always feel this way about yourself, or did you have to evolve into the woman you are today? What kind of journey has this been for you?
I mean, it's been a journey. I was gifted a gift that I love to just jump. Like, I will weave something and jump and see where I land. Like, most people are just like, no, I actually have something set up. I'm just like, no, it's free fall. Let's see what happens. And so my dad was the second Black man in Port Collins. And so we grew up on a farm. And me and my sisters were the only Black students in school, elementary, junior high, and high school. And then I wanted to be a police officer. And so I got hired. I was the first Black police officer in Fort Collins. So I was a police officer for 10 years. And so that, just being that and watching my dad and how he showed up is, that's what inspired me to just be like, I'm just going to keep doing it. Like, I'm just going to keep jumping. and see where I land and see what shows up. So, but I will tell you along the way, like I've had a lot of healing and growth and acceptance, because that was a part of me that had the internal racism that I wasn't good enough because I grew up around white people. So I had to do more, I had to show up bigger. And so no, it's been a healing process for me too.
Oh, that's fantastic. And you know, we have that in common because, you know, I've been here in Colorado myself since 1982. So we've been here over 40 years. And we moved to Thornton and we were the only Black family there. So that had its challenge. And then I moved to Montbello and I graduated from Montbello in 1988, the Warriors. And I'm a DPS kid. But we also found too that in my senior year, we lived in Smoky Hill, which is considered to be Islands now. We were the only Black family out there too. And there was another family that moved out there after us. So our paths are similar that way. And I understand what it's like to be, you know, the only person of color in a neighborhood of white people. And you feel like you have to stand out and also speak louder and prouder because you're representing a whole race. That pressure can be very daunting. Is that how that felt for you?
It did. It did in little aspects of my life. But now it's like I see my full picture of who I am and how I show up. And it's even me being like softening into the Black community because I didn't grow up around Black community. And just to have them around, like, I love it so much. And like, if I could have had this growing up, I mean, I don't want to take anything away from how I grew up. But man, things are so different.
I agreed. But let me ask you something with the softening of being introduced to, you know, Black women around you that look like you, who are you, and having a late introduction into that, into your life, were you more grateful or more uncomfortable, excited, or a little bit of all three?
Oh my gosh, a little bit of all three. Like the Black women who come to my workshop, because I do a lot of workshops for them, I offer acupuncture with one of my friends who does acupuncture for the Black community. But when they come to my workshops and they're still with me, like the feedback is hilarious. They're just like, when you start talking, there's no way you could be that happy and I didn't trust you. But then I just kept coming to your studio and that's how you are. And it was really weird for me. So I feel all of that. I feel when I'm side-eyed, when people are just like, nope, I don't trust her. She's too calm. And so, no, I feel it all. And I do. I truly love it all. I really do.
That's so amazing because you are able to break through the cynicism and the distrust because it's like, wait a minute. She's a little bit too shiny and sparkly. Can we trust her? She sounds a little too slick. Can we trust her? And you know, that's not you. That's just the way society has people. They just don't trust. And after everything we've been through in this country as a whole, as Black people over the last 400 years, and coming through and surviving a horrible medical crisis, war, public deaths, you know, just brutality and everything being on 20, people are just mentally exhausted and weary. They come through your door looking at this very energetic, spiritually centered Black woman smiling. They're like, okay, what's her story?
And I will tell you what got me through all of that and what has truly helped me expand into the Black community is a couple of Black women who walked through my door, who took the time to talk with me, who did a session with me, who stayed plugged in with me. They gave me the okay. These Black women were born and raised in Five Points. So they would tell everybody about me, like, you've got to go to her, you've got to do a session, you've got to do yoga. And so truly, I owe everything to them for giving me their stamp of approval, because without it, I think people would still be side-eyeing me.
Well, you know, and to that point, that is so valid, because that's what we call street cred.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's what we call street cred. So, and let's be real, you know, I call balls and strikes. There, you know, there was some probably Black folk and people of color thinking, and with all due respect, that, okay, this Black girl is from Fort Collins. She ain't been around no Black people. You know, she talks proper. Is she really one of us?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Oh, that's 100% fair. Yeah.
Right.
100%.
Right. the sisters in Five Points came and said, she's the real deal, authentic, you can trust her. And that's the reaffirming we had to get from our own people on a constant basis. So I am so glad they did that for you, because clearly they knew what they were doing and they knew what they were seeing in you. You are thriving and you're doing phenomenal things in this community. And I am just so excited that you're here and that you're presenting this world to our community.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so excited too. We just, I have to share that we just got back from our first retreat, and it's a Metanoa retreat. So I teach people how to use quantum jumping, like different realities and quantum healing, to just move their world out of the cycles that they're in. So it's super powerful. And everybody who signed up were Black. I offered to everybody, but this first group, and it was the best time ever. We had such a great time. We were in the mountains. We went on hike. Oh, it was so good. So just how everything is just expanding, and Black people are stepping up and saying yes is just magical. I love it.
I love it. And I always encourage people, don't deny your joy.
Yes.
Don't.
Beautiful.
Jump into your joy. And you don't know what your joy is if you don't experience it. Know it, experience it, and live it. And you're providing all three platforms of joy for people. And you are a sensational story, Ollie. You are just amazing. And fear is what keeps people from jumping.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And you are breaking down those walls. But we have been conditioned to stay within those walls. But no more.
No more.
No more.
Oh, and no. No, there's so much on the other side. Like, let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Let's jump into it. So you're an example of what we are and what we have been and what we can become.
I receive that. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And it's been my honor and my absolute joy to have you on our show this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the extraordinary Ollie Duncan, owner and founder of the phenomenal Urban Sanctuary here in Denver in the historic district on Welton Street. Thank you for listening to KGU Community Radio Public Affair. I'm your host, Trish Buford. Stay well.